So I'm not super into television these days. I don't have a show that I'm watching, right? I'm not binging anything. And I'm one of those people, I don't really like waiting week to week for things. I wait until I can binge something. So a few weeks ago, I was having the problem that I normally have where I go to Netflix and I sit there for like a half an hour and I search and I search and I search and I might end up starting something that 2 minutes later I go, why am I wasting my life on this? And then I search and I search and I search. And we had a normal Saturday evening where that often happens. Susan and I don't go out too late on Saturday evenings because we have church on Sunday mornings. And we get on Netflix and we start watching this movie, and it's a completely predictable Netflix movie, right? It's a guy and a girl. They don't know each other yet. You know what's going to happen, right? They're going to meet. They're going to have a falling out. He or she is going to do something terrible, and then by the end, they'll be back together. So about 5 minutes into this, I looked at Susan, and I was like, I want the next 2 hours that haven't happened yet of my life back, right? Like, I don't want to do this. So we stopped it. We stopped the movie. We didn't waste the time. And we're going through, and we're like, all right, do we just go to sleep? Do we read? What do we do? And we came across a Brené Brown special on Netflix. And everybody's like, oh, Brené Brown, right? Brené Brown is really amazing. If you haven't heard of Brené Brown, she's a PhD researcher at the University of Houston. And the reason that she got famous was she did this little local TED Talk down in Texas on guilt and shame. And when she did this TED Talk, it went viral. Like, people found it amazing, and since then, she's speaking everywhere. But she has this one-hour special because she has now moved from guilt and shame all the way to courage in her research and in her studies. So she has this one-hour special on Netflix called Brené Brown, A Call to Courage. And if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to do it. If you don't have Netflix, do the free 30-day trial just for this. It's worth it. If you watch it, you will laugh. She is hilarious. You might cry. I may have, right? That may have happened. You'll hear some profanity. You can get past that, right? That'll happen. It'll be okay. But it will be well worth your time. The hour will be well worth your time because she moves right from guilt and shame to courage to this concept of belonging. And it's a really powerful thing. So I didn't realize, I guess she has a whole new book out on courage, which I didn't realize yet. But so I wanted to go research and see, what does she have to say about courage? Because I knew that topic was coming up. I knew we were going to talk about it. So I want to read you something that I think is really powerful that her research says about courage. This is what she says. She says, courage is a heart word. The root of the word courage is cor, the Latin word for heart. In one of its earliest forms, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. Over time, this definition has changed, she says, and today we typically associate courage with heroic and brave deeds. But in my opinion, this definition fails to recognize the inner strength and level of commitment required for us to actually speak honestly and openly about who we are and about our experiences, good, listen to this next part, and bad. Speaking from our hearts is what I think of as ordinary courage. Powerful, powerful words. We're starting a new sermon series today, and the sermon series is called, How Do I Do That? How do I do that? And what I've been thinking about, and when this sermon series, I started percolating it back last summer, was there's a lot of things in the church that we tell people you're not allowed to do, or our culture says you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to get angry. You're not allowed to be honest about your feelings. You're not allowed to say, I am scared. You're not allowed, you're not allowed, you're not allowed. And sometimes, friends, the church can become more about the don'ts than the do's. And what we fail to do often in the church is we fail to recognize real human emotions and help people walk through those real human emotions. Because it is possible, friends, that we can experience human emotions and, yes, wait for it, still be Christians. It is possible that we can walk through the real things that we feel, and still be followers of Jesus. So today, instead of focusing on fear, I want to sort of focus on the opposite of that, which is courage. And I want to talk about this concept of courage. We're going to look at how to be courageous. Now, before some of you tune me out and say, I have no courage, so I'm not going to listen to what Tim says, or I've got everything figured out in the courage department, so I don't need him, I want to invite you to just stay with me for a few minutes, because I think actually Brené gives us a different way to think about courage and a different way to look at courage, but I also think the scripture gives us a different way to think about and look at courage. I'm going to take you to a book of the Bible that unfortunately many people never get to. It's the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible. And the reason that many people never get to it is because people get really gung-ho when they open up the Bible and they read Genesis. And like, this is sort of interesting. And they get to Exodus and they're like, oh, this is getting a little less interesting. And they get to Leviticus and it's all about the laws. And then they get to that book of Numbers, which is about, yes, numbers. And they never get to Deuteronomy, which is a really, really cool story, a powerful story about the movement of humanity. So I want to talk to you today a little bit about the Israelites, which at this point are called Hebrews in the story. And they're the people that Moses led. Moses was a powerful leader, and he led the Hebrew people from the captivity of Pharaoh. They were in Egypt, and they were being brutally cared for, and they were slaves, and Moses led them out. And he led them into another brutal space, the wilderness. Into unknown land where they weren't sure where they were going to get food. They weren't sure who was out there. They weren't sure who was going to do what. They left on one big thing, and that was a promise. A promise from God that came through Moses that said, I'm going to deliver you from this. And I'm going to take you to what's called the promised land, which is a fancy word for a place that God offered them where they could be cared for, where they would love and they would be taken care of. So they leave on this promise. Now, up to the point where I'm going to read this morning, things have been really, really hard. They have lost a lot of their people. People have died. People are hungry. People are angry. They're frustrated. They're having all the human emotions, and Moses is taking it all in. And then Moses brings them this message from Deuteronomy chapter 31. It says, then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. You will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So here's what we know about Moses to this point. He's old, right? It says in the beginning of the scripture, Moses is 120 years old. He's soon going to die. And the problem for the Israelites, the problem for these folks, is that Moses has been the one that has spoken to them. Even if they didn't like it, they have followed Moses for 40 years through the wilderness. Moses has said, hang on, guys, something good will come out of this. He has given them hope in places of hopelessness. And just like running a marathon that you stop right before the finish line and lay down on the ground, Moses is not going to go with them into the promised land. It's not going to happen. He's not going to carry the people in. He's not going to lead them. It's just not going to work. He says, but don't fear. I have Joshua for you. Now, I know he's never really led you, but Joshua's your new leader, and he's going to take you in there. And don't worry, all's going to be okay. Can you imagine how terrifying this was for the Israelites? Not only are they going into this new land where Moses has told them there are big giants in that land. There are dangerous people in there, but don't worry, God's going to take care of them. Not only are they going into this big land, but Moses says, but I'm not going. I can't go with you. The one who has walked with you time and time again, I can't go with you. It doesn't say it in the passage, but I wonder if the Israelites were like, what if we just set up camp here? This is our new home. Or Moses, I know we've gone 40 years, but perhaps it's time to go back to Pharaoh. Go back to Egypt. At least there we knew what was going on. At least there we knew what was happening. And Moses turns to them in verse 6 and says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Moses is amazingly courageous on behalf of the people. In fact, if you read the story of Exodus, and it actually, Numbers is not just about numbers, by the way. There's some good stuff in there. And you read on into Deuteronomy, you find out that Moses actually has been pretty courageous throughout most of the story once he got over the initial shock that he was going to lead them. So I'm wondering, what things might we take away from Moses when it comes to courage this morning? Here's the first thing. Take risks. If you want to be a person that changes the world, if you want to do something big, if you want to do what God is calling you to do, take risks. Can you imagine the risk that Moses took in leading the people out of Egypt? Pharaoh had so much more than they did. He had armies, he had tools, he had power, he had all of these things. And Moses takes the people out into this unknown land. Who knows if Pharaoh will get through the water to chase them? Well, we know the story now, but Moses didn't know. Who knows if they'll be safe? It could lead to loss in the wilderness. They're dangerous and treacherous. And friends, it did lead to loss. A lot of loss. But Moses decided that based on what God was calling him to in his life, it was worth it. In his book, The Barbarian Way, there's a guy named Erwin McManus who was a pastor for years out in California. He's a really great guy and writes really powerful stuff. But he's talking about this concept of taking risks. And he says one day he and his wife were standing out in the front yard and they looked up and their son was up on the roof of the house. And his son yells out, he goes, Mom and Dad! And the mom starts freaking out instantly. Get down! No, don't get down! Get down! Don't get down! And the son looks past the mom at the dad and he goes, hey, Dad, can I jump? And the dad said, yeah, go ahead. He was weighing the pros and cons of how hurt his son might be. By the way, it was a one-level house. But he's weighing the pros and cons of how hurt his son might be. And he thought for a moment and he said, I believe it is actually more powerful for my son to get the chance to take this risk than to be placed in bubble wrap his entire life and not be able to take these steps of courage. Now his son was fine. His son jumped off. I don't know that Erwin's marriage was fine, right? Once he looked past his wife and said, yeah, kid, jump. It's funny. We were down at a house down in Lake of the Woods, and just yesterday our kids got up on the roof. We have a really flat roof down there, and we have a sunroom on the back. And my mom was there, and my mom just saw them walking up the ladder and turned around and walked right back into the house. And I thought about it, and I said, I want my kids not to make stupid decisions, but I don't want to wrap them up so much that they never take a risk. In this passage, in this place, in this thing, Moses takes this big risk. The people take a risk. Jesus is risky. If you watch Jesus, he does things over and over again that steps out of the zone of comfort. I wonder if we have gotten so much into our comfort zones that courage is this thing that's so far off because we're afraid to take a risk, to step out. What if I don't know the next 10 steps? That should be like Northern Virginia's motto. We know the next 10 steps. But what if we just step out and take a risk and say, what if? What might happen? So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. If you're going to be a person that takes risks, you got to be okay with failure. You got to be okay with failing. And friends, we've got to learn to celebrate failure. With risk doesn't just come the possibility of failure, it comes the outcome of failure. Failure will happen to you. God calls Moses to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt. Moses knew it was dangerous. He got them out, now they're out. What's next? Moses had no clue where food was going to come from. He takes all these people out and guess what? Shockingly, they're hungry. And Moses didn't lead them perfectly through those moments. He didn't know what was on the other side of the wilderness. Moses had to be okay with failure as an option. He had to be okay with the possibility that it wasn't all going to work out by the plan, that things might be different. This year, I was filling out my NCAA bracket for basketball. I know you're surprised, some of you who know me, that this might be coming up again. And I had to choose who was going to be in the final game. Now, I'm not a person that has a lot of courage, but I am loyal and I am faithful. So I chose the University of Virginia yet again to be in the final game. Now, for some of you, you go, who cares? What big news is that? Well, the Final Four, the final games, the NCAA tournament, is about taking all of the best teams in the nation, theoretically, and throwing them together and see who comes out on the other end. Last year, my team, the University of Virginia, made it in. And what happens in the first round is that the top teams, the top seed teams, and the lowest seed teams play each other. And last year, we lost in the first round. We were a top seed team. And people are like, don't talk about it. We have to keep naming it, right? We lost in the first round. And you know, I came back to this season, and I didn't have to have a lot of courage because I wasn't out on the basketball court. But you know who had to have a lot of courage? That team. And that team had to step up again, knowing they full well knew failure was an option. They failed last year. And they came into that first game again. They were a one seed. I was hoping we wouldn't be, but we were a one seed. And we played a 16 seed again. And doggone it, in that first half, we were losing again. And all of those feelings came up. Well, fast forward a little bit. We won that game. We won the next game and the next one. And then we got to the game that would take us on. And we played Auburn. And the game was a little scary, but there's a guy who's 21 years old named Kyle Guy. And Kyle Guy had spent the entire last year with a big thing on his wall that reminded him of the loss from the last year. And he knew stepping into these games, it was possible that they would lose again. He knew failure was an option. And in the game against Auburn, it all came down to Kyle Guy. He stood at the free throw line. I believe we were down 2 points at this time. And he had a 3-point set of free throw shots to shoot. He shot the first one. It was as if it just went right in perfectly. He shot the second one. At that point, I was just fine. We were tied. It didn't matter. And then Kyle Guy shot the ball, and the third one went in, and we went on to the final game. Now, Kyle Guy, when he was interviewed after this, because you were watching him in the game, and he looked so cool, he looked so calm, everything looked perfect, and he said that was one of the most terrifying moments of his entire life. Because he knew not only were the thousands of people in that basketball arena watching him, but everyone who had any hope in UVA basketball for our entire lives put it all in Kyle Guy. Not in Jesus in that moment. It was all in Kyle Guy for just a moment. See, that team, they stepped in and they knew. They could have gone in and just said, well, if we get to round two, that's good. And maybe we'll lose and it'll be okay. But they took risks and they fought with courage every single game that they had, knowing that failure was an option. Now, we're not all going to be basketball stars, but we all have those moments in our lives where we have to step up, take a risk, and be okay with failure. But here's the third thing, and I actually think this is the most important thing, the thing that differentiates all of it when it comes to courage. And Moses names it pretty strongly. It says, trust God. Remember the Brené Brown quote at the beginning that I read you? That courage is about core and it comes from the heart. The heart has to trust and has to come connected to God. Moses says to the Israelites, the Lord himself goes on before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And that's not like a commandment like, hey, you're not a good person if you're afraid and discouraged. That's a, hey, God is with you. God is with you. So ultimately, Moses had to make this choice. Was he going to do the option where he knew the outcome? Or was he going to trust God and step out in faith? Was he going to step out and take on courage? Even in the midst of the hard stuff, friends, God was with them. Understand that this is not Moses saying, if you take the step, God's going to be with you and all is going to be easy. The trust in God part is simply if you take the step, God's going to walk with you. God will be with you as you walk through the stuff. Moses dies. He doesn't cross the finish line. But I believe that trusting in God was what led to this courage that he had to lead the people. So I want to leave you with a question this morning. Something to think about over this next week. What will it take for you to trust God? What will it take for you to have the courage that God is calling you to have? Not necessarily to change the world. Maybe it's the courage to just put this foot in front of this one. But what's the risk that God is calling you to this week? Knowing that failure might be an option. Knowing that people around you may look at you and go, really, you're going to jump off that roof? But maybe knowing that that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do to be the person, not only that God is calling you to do, but the person that you want to be, that you want to live to be. So this week, I want you to think about something. What's holding you back? What's the thing that's keeping you from taking that risk? What's the thing that's keeping you from taking that step? Really spend some time pondering this. Really spend some time thinking about it. Y'all, I have this dream that I want to make a big impact on the world. I have this dream that I want to do something really, really big. But often, I let my lack of courage keep me from taking any steps towards it. What's your step this week? What's the thing that you're going to do to step out in courage? I bet you want to make a big impact too. Let it be so.